Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wrestlers are not actors. That's just a skill that comes with a gig when you get to the highest level, and to be fair, most adapt to it after a while. Not going to win an Oscar, but they get the job done, and that's all you ever need to do. There have been some performances throughout the years that have drawn more noise from the wrestling community, however, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm Simon from What Culture. Please do hit that subscribe button. And this is the 10 worst acted moments in WWE history. Number 10, Linda McMahon wants a divorce. Tying this back into the intro, this one is even further removed because Linda McMahon wasn't even a wrestler. In the late 90s and early 2000s, though, the first family of wrestling were everywhere, so each member must be featured. This led to plenty of drama, including what we're about to focus on. Linda had finally decided that Vince's quite frankly awful ways were enough, and she let him know she wanted a divorce. Now, was this delivered in a way that was going to grab your heart and send it on an emotional journey? Not really, but it is hard to criticize too much. Go and listen to the fans. They pop like crazy for this, as they would do at WrestleMania 17. Anytime Linda stood up for herself, both figuratively and literally, a huge pop was waiting. So yeah, I get it, but look, here we are 21 years later, and I still remember the way she said this. I want a divorce. I categorize this as Wrestling Nonsense 101. Number 9, Kalisto shocks SmackDown. This should be in a museum. It is so good, and I mean that too. If wrestling exists to entertain, this is my favorite promo ever, and I still don't really know what happened. But after Kalisto had moved to SmackDown in the draft and was asked how he felt, the masked man promised to shock the world. Good start. He then stumbled over all of his words before yelling he was going to make a good lucha thing, and he ran off. Everybody go and watch this now. It is great. I assume Kalisto just panicked in the moment, which we've all done, but unfortunately for him, it happened on live television. Who even cares, though? WWE should have capitalized on this because it made me like the man 10 times as much as I already did. Where was my t-shirt? Make a good lucha thing for life. Number 8, Brie Bella and Daniela. There are a lot of these when it comes to the Bellas, but most of the time it was down to the absurd lines they were given to say. For example, Nikki yelling at Brie that she would have rather her twin died in the womb. I'm sorry, that's only going to go one way. Brie then got some of this too when she was running away from Kane alongside future husband Daniel Bryan, as they were instructed to jump into a car and speed off like this was some nuts horror movie. Poor Brie then had to shout, "Come on, we need to go." And yeah, this sounded more like Bella was worried about getting to the gym late as opposed to being stalked by a serial killer. But just listen to that sentence. The Big Red Machine did eventually catch them as well, which left Brie in a lose-lose position, and sure, I don't think anybody actually thought she was in mortal danger. Number 7, the Big Boss Man's horrific crime. In many ways, I still can't believe WWE did this, but let's not pretend on some sick level we didn't all enjoy it. This was mostly due to the fact that the Big Boss Man was so over-the-top entertaining with it that somehow he would still be beloved for it all these years later. But yes, during the heights of the Attitude Era, it was decided that the cop from Cobb County, Georgia would crash the Big Show's dad's funeral and just run amok. He shouted at gatherers over the police radio, smashed the whole place up, and even attached the coffin to his car before driving off. I mean, it was surreal. Why anyone thought Paul White would do anything other than growl like an over-the-top bear, I don't know. But yes, it did make this whole skit even more ridiculous. But personally, I thought it tied into whatever this was, intentional or not. I doubt anyone in the real world would have acted like this if something similar had gone down, though. Kind of felt like the giant was a bit annoyed Boss Man had eaten his sandwich, but still, what a damn ride. Number 6, Maria Kanellis sheds those tears. Do you know how hard it is to cry on demand? Very hard. Now try doing it when you're in the midst of a hokey WWE storyline. I'm not so sure you're going to be able to find the emotion needed to pull that off. Maria Kanellis did try, though, and before moving on, let's not forget what a good performer she has been over the years. But yeah, I know, on 2009, after a fling with Dolph Ziggler, Ziggles decided he was done with this and dumped Maria on live TV. Classy. Maria had been told to turn on the waterworks, so she did give it a go, but I don't think that anybody bought it. She really did put in a lot of effort to those facial expressions, though. Kinda looked like somebody had forced her to swallow a whole egg. I really don't know who you could have given this to that would have made it a smash success. I mean, maybe Mick Foley. He just had a way. Number 5, John Cena corpses. It doesn't even matter what we think about this moment now. John Cena has transitioned to Hollywood and proved he's got what it takes to hang. Just go watch the Suicide Squad movie if you haven't. The dude owns it. When in a WWE ring, though, he has been known for going way over the top with his mannerisms to the point of lunacy. Again, they make me laugh, so it's all good with me. But whether it was his shocked face after somebody kicks out of a 7th AA, or some of those expressions when he gets caught unawares, Cena was a bit like a giant cartoon. It worked, though. Look at the numbers. A true highlight was when he was aiming for a WrestleMania match with The Undertaker and decided a great way to tempt the dead man would be to stare right into the camera and mimic his eye roll neck slice combo. I suppose the intent was to be somewhat intimidating, but it kind of just looked like John was melting. He got away with it because he always did, but yeah, I think this caused more amusement than it did strike fear into the hearts of man. Number 4, Eva Marie makes a name for herself. This one also seems a little bit unfair, as it was during Eva Marie's debut when you're gonna be a bag of nerves. But hey, we asked you, and this was one that came back. But all the way back in 2013, if you can believe that, Marie was instructed to grab a mic, tell us she was here to make a name for herself, before slapping Jerry the King Lawler right around the face. Now, if I was told to do this, I would probably lightly tap Jerry's skull too, but between her love pat and lack of intensity, this did feel like WWE scripted promos at their worst. Just let wrestlers talk, dammit. Lawler still sold this like he'd been shot, so fair play to that guy, and it is important to remember the difficulty of these scenarios. You not only have a rabid fan base on your ass, but also somebody named Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I mean, how are you meant to put emotion into anything if your brain is just going, remember the line, remember the line? Exactly. Number 3, the Brood break their silence. So this one is another all-timer. Gangrel has spoken about this after the fact and admits it didn't go to plan, but I tell ya, stuff like this makes me really happy. Going down on the debut episode of SmackDown, the Brood finally decided to talk after months of cool entrances and bloodbaths. Sadly, rather than try and sound like a real person, Gangrel had the most ridiculous lines to say, such as, "The Brood initially has chosen not to speak by our own choice." Huh? Like a Professor Layton puzzle. It was also delivered so unconvincingly it fell flat. Edge got involved too when he had the line, "This unholy trio will become what they become," and even over 20 years later, I don't know what that means. And did they become whatever that was? No idea. It was saved before the end as Michael Hayes became the latest victim to be covered in red blood, but seriously, you should watch this. It is entertaining. Not in the way intended and your stomach may be doing backflips, but still, there's a reason I'm talking about it right now. Number 2, Steve Blackman. Gets intense. If you've watched any of my videos, you know I love Steve Blackman. He was just awesome and I don't know why. Probably because he had that crazy stare that looked like he was about to kill you. Really, he should have just been given a mouthpiece as he didn't even need to speak, but in the late 90s, a manager wasn't very fashionable, so talk he must. Most of the time, he was fine, I supposed, but this one when running down Ken Shamrock is of note because of his last words. Clearly asked to remember a script as he glares at Terry Taylor the whole time with his brain whirring. Before he storms off, Blackman raises his voice and shouts, "Another!" as if this is the most poignant thing a human being has ever said. I can only presume this had been done a few times, with producers asking for more passion at the end, and this is what they got. It is really weird, though. It is weird. Number 1, Kelly Kelly learns the ropes. This is another occasion where somebody was thrown into the mix much quicker than they likely should have been, and it didn't help that Kelly Kelly was simultaneously trying to get better in the ring while also working on her character. That stuff shouldn't be happening on international, easily viewed TV. Also, listen to some of the lines she was given. During a time where she fell out with Randy Orton, Kelly said, "Please, I don't know why you're avoiding me. I tried to protect you from Kane, and you can't even return a single call. You told me you liked me, and I liked you too. I thought that night we had was special." I mean, did I write that? Because it sounds like it. Kelly didn't seem overly confident with this either, so that hurt as well. And it all just lacked something, but hey, effort is important. She gave it a go, and she is very well remembered now. So you can't crap on it all that much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.